The following program does not necessarily reflect the opinions and viewpoints of the staff and management of this station.
Good morning. This is Becky Ivins, and you are listening to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We do have a really special guest on today, by way of long distance, actually. We have Rue Fennell. I keep wanting to call her Fennell, but she's like one of my favorite vegetables, Fennell, from Tennessee. And Ruth teaches, lectures, studies, all about senior transitioning in housing and all about seniors, actually. We've got Ruth on the line, and I just want to say good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Becky. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing great. You're going to be in Oklahoma soon, aren't you?
I am. I'm actually coming to teach a class to real estate agents about the seniors market in Tulsa the 25th of August. So I'll be there shortly.
You know, we had a group of folks that took your course, and it's not just one of these little 3-hour courses. It's actually a nice big curriculum, and we learned a lot from that. And I don't think any of us expected to learn as much as we did. And I think we all shared that with you about 3/4 of the way through the first day. We were going, oh man, we didn't think we were going to learn so much because we were pretty seasoned, the group that we had here in Oklahoma City. Wasn't it last year about this time?
Yeah, well, it was probably about 6 months ago, actually. Time flies. But it was a great class. There were a lot of wonderful agents in that class. But as you said, it's amazing how much information is actually out there concerning working with seniors, their families, and trying to help people make good decisions. And once you really start looking for all of that information, it'll blow your mind because there's so much out there for people to look to, but they just don't know where to look for it.
We're going to help this morning baby boomers. There's about every 8 seconds or so, another one of us Americans turns 50.
That's absolutely correct. With baby boomers, there's 78 million of them approximately in the United States, 10 million in Canada. And about every 7 to 8 seconds, somebody's turning 50. So it's a huge demographic. Their parents and grandparents are living much longer than people would have anticipated 50 years ago. So there's just a variety of options for all of those different age groups as far as the best ways for them to live out all of the golden years that they have in front of them.
Well, and we talk about a lot of generations, and there actually are 5 major generations, aren't there?
Yes, there are. There's actually what we call the silent generation, and that is the group that is dealing with, you know, kind of the World War I, World War II, just before that, and then there's the GI generation. The book says the greatest generation. You've got the baby boomers, and then the Gen X and the Gen Ys. So there's really 5 primary demographics that the United States is looking at right now.
And I think that we're going to look an awful lot today about the generation that's not even listed there. We're going to talk about the sandwich generation and how we can help seniors get along onto. And I'm doing a lot more of that, Ruth, than I have in any of the years past. And I'm not sure if it's just the greater number of people needing the help, or that I'm myself in that generation, the kind of the sandwich generation where you're still kind of helping out your adult children and still helping out with parents as well.
Well, absolutely. There's a great resource called Pew Research Center, and that's P like in Paul, E-W. They are constantly doing statistical analysis and things like that. And according to them, there's actually about 10 million baby boomers right now who are in that sandwich generation. They're still raising children, or supporting an adult child. They're also giving some type of physical or financial support to their parents. And almost at this point, about 71% of baby boomers still have at least one living parent. So there's a potential for that 10 million number to continue to grow and exceed as people live longer, and especially with the economy, the adult children may be coming back to look for mom and dad for a little bit more support and things like that. So you are definitely not alone, Becky.
Well, and I'll tell you, whether you're in the middle of helping a senior transition from their own home into an alternative living arrangement, or you're not in the middle of it right now, but you see it on the horizon, that you need to stay tuned, because we do have the national expert on helping. Ruth, your certifications, it took, I think, 4 lines on the page to actually put all the letters after your name.
I've been accused of trying to create an alphabet soup, but I come to real estate in the seniors market from a corporate training and human resources background, so I am just an unbelievably strong advocate in learning and education, and especially once you start really looking at the ability to help people with all of these variety of needs. There's just so much out there, and it's fascinating. I mean, people just truly kind of feel alone at some point going through lots of these processes, and they don't need to feel alone because there's a tremendous amount of resources and websites and things like that that are out there to help them. They're just kind of not quite sure where to start.
And many of our seniors, of course, when you get up into the greatest generation, some of those seniors really did not adapt themselves to the internet. So as a result of that, Ruth has started to put together, you're not quite finished with it yet, but actually Ruth sent me a draft of her book on this, Transitioning Seniors, and it really has a lot of good information in the book. And when do you think you're going to have that ready for publication, Ruth?
I'm actually hoping to have it pretty well. I'm kind of heading down the home stretch. I was hoping to have it done by today, but ran into some timing challenges. Well, I hope to have it done within a week. And mentioning about the website, I have almost 20 pages of website, that are just, again, the starting point for people. So, and I will ask a favor of your audience a little bit later as we kind of go through the program, because I would like to get their help with that book.
Well, we are going to select 3 people to help you add a story to the book, maybe add a question or a challenge to the book.
All right.
And if you want to call in and if you want to be a part of that, we're going to, put your name in the mix, and you can email if you want to. And Ruth, we're up on a break, and since you're long distance, you can't see that. So I thought I'd just tell you that. Donna, we're going to take your call right after this break. We've got Ruth Fennell on the line, and Ruth is a senior transitioning specialist. Ruth, exactly what is that?
Well, it is someone who is knowledgeable and educated about the various options that baby boomers, their parents, and grandparents have as far as heading toward those retirement years. So the range of options is phenomenal. People are, downsizing, right-sizing, upsizing, cross-sizing, whatever. Some want to stay in single-family homes. Some want to go to low-maintenance villas. There's a whole range as far as different communities and things like that. So it's really just someone like you, too, who has taken the Seniors Real Estate Specialist class, has dedicated time and money to learning about ways to help families with some of those various transitions and to help make that process as smoothly as possible.
And it really is not just in theory. This is a real nuts and bolts business of exactly what to do. We helped a family move some World War II veterans into a retirement home this last month. And today they're having their estate sale. And it took a while to get everything organized because you don't want to rush when you get to older adults. And people don't like that use of that word older, I guess, but the more senior of our citizens. But we really had a good result. We're going to close on their real estate transaction on Monday, and they will have their money to pay for their care, for the rest of their life, and probably have money left over. We have Donna on the line. And Donna, I think you had a question about a family member.
I do. Thank you, ladies, for taking my call. I am a baby boomer. I am dealing with my uncle, who is like a father to me. He is 79 years old, retired Navy, never been married. His health is declining. He's under the care of several physicians, and we don't have an actual diagnosis. My problem with him is he lives out of state. His house is not what I call senior friendly, and I'm not sure he can live alone at this point, but I'm not sure for how long. I would like some information about, number one, where to find the resources to help he and I and the rest of my family as far as getting a diagnosis, improving his house to be senior friendly, and also how to find a realtor who has taken the course that you ladies are speaking of this morning. I really appreciate this. And Ms. Fennell, if you could please repeat somewhere in the program where to find your new book, I would really appreciate it. Thanks for all you're doing, ladies.
Well, Donna, do you want to hang on a minute while we try to answer some of that for you?
Absolutely.
Okay, Ruth, I'm going to field that to you.
Okay, well, we've obviously got a multi-part question here. First and foremost, aging in place or staying in the home is a very strong desire for most people. There are multiple avenues where people can check into that. One of the first things you want to do is to have somebody come out and do an assessment of the home. And there's actually people who will do that. There, there's geriatric case managers. There's a website, Care Manager, plural, singular, caremanager.com. And they'll come out and kind of look at the way that the home is set up, how it's organized, how wide are the doors, how easy is it for someone to get in and out of the home, that type of thing. What we find is that sometimes people will, you know, have steps leading into their home. It's very, very difficult if you start having mobility issues to get in and out of the home, so they feel kind of trapped. The width of doorways, ease of maneuvering in bathrooms, all those kinds of things. There are contractors. There's a national designation through the National Association of Home Builders called a Certified Aging in Place Specialist, a CAPS. And you can go to the National Association of Home Builders website, which is nahb.org, and find a CAPS contractor. And those are people who have taken, again, special classes that allow them to understand the dynamics of working with seniors and helping them to make the right decisions as far as home modifications and things like that. While researching my book, I've actually come across a brand new credential that's called Certified Environmental Access Consultant. So, you know, you're always on the lookout for new information. A CEAC. And this is cross-occupational. So this is healthcare professionals, builders, physical therapists, you know, even architects and engineers, who are, again, focusing on providing the right environment for people, either with handicaps, mobility issues, or potential aging-in-place things. So look for the Certified Environmental Access Consultant, Donna, and that should help you to at least start getting in touch with people who can give you guidance on what to do with your particular home. As far as the medical aspects of it, again, look for a geriatric care manager. They're called different things. They could be called an elder consultant, an elder care manager, those kinds of things, or a case manager. But those are people who are knowledgeable about health issues of older adults, and they can get you to the right medical treatment. When we were trying to first explore my mother-in-law, who was finally diagnosed with Alzheimer's, we were fortunate enough to come in contact with I called her an elder care manager, but she was a geriatric case manager who was just a godsend. She got us to the right doctors. We got the right tests done, and they're great as far as even helping to know about bringing in home health services and all that kind of stuff. So look for a geriatric case manager, and that should help you.
Well, a lot of good information there. And one thing that Donna did not mention is cost involved. And being a Navy retiree, perhaps that is not as much a concern as it is for many people. And I will tell you that the baby boomers out there, you really need to, as you turn 60, you need to call Eunice Corey, because she will help you with long-term care insurance so that you're not facing having to settle for a less than desirable place to live when you get to where you can't take care of yourself. So,
Long-term care is a new, relatively new product, but and it's extremely valuable, you know, and so kudos to her for providing that service. There's a lot of baby boomers who might not want to acknowledge that at some point it could be required, but the challenge in the current environment is that people didn't have long-term care insurance to purchase.
And we'll continue a little bit more right after this break. You're listening to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move on News Radio 1000 KTOK. We have got Ruth Fennell on the line, and Ruth is a senior transitioning specialist. with all kinds of certifications. And Ruth, I thought I would just ask you a few questions. Are you still on the line with us?
I'm here. Go right ahead.
Okay. At what age should a senior person consider moving into something other than a single family residence?
There's actually four ages that people have to think about. The first one is chronological age. There are certain communities that do have age restrictions because of legal constraints, and there's usually a 55 plus or a 62 plus communities. So there they have to meet the chronological age. But then there's also a couple other ages that people want to think about. One is a physical age. How mobile is the person? How well do they get around? Are they active? Do they have hobbies? Things like that. And then there's also the cognitive age. How mentally alert and sharp are they? And are they able to function well on the day-to-day tasks, pay their bills, those kinds of things? And then there's also what we call the perceived or psychological age, which is where all of us think that we're younger than we might be chronologically. So there is no set answer to that, Becky. It really just is taking those different areas into account and going from there. I have a friend in Sun City Center, Florida, who is in her mid-50s and lives there and absolutely loves it. Now, most people would think of Sun City Center as a major retirement community for very, very seasoned adults, but that's not true anymore. There's just a whole range of options for people.
You know, I recently sold a condo in AHAPA, which is housing for older persons, and I looked around. The grounds were so beautiful. It was so serene. It was nice and quiet, but still a lot of good activity going on. And I thought, man, that looks inviting to me. I mean, no lawn to keep up myself. Somebody else takes care of paying most of the bills. That was looking more and more inviting. Ruth, we've got a couple of callers, and I thought we would talk to Terry. Terry, you have a question about your mom, right?
Well, I do. You know, families are a little bit more complex than maybe they once were. I have a stepbrother who has altogether different ideas about my mother's holdings, and it's getting touchy financially and making decisions that way. So I was wondering if your guest, Ruth, has any ideas on how I might approach my stepbrother and his family and be, I don't know, it's just touchy, and I don't have a way to realize how I might approach these difficult questions about the finances of the move, let alone, you know, where mom should be and so forth and so on. And just the decision-making process, can she give me a little guidance?
Boy, that's a great question. And oftentimes I know when there are several offspring or the caretaker has siblings, everyone seems to have an opinion, but there seems to be one that seems to do most of the decision-making and work. And how do you get in touch with the finances of the senior and know exactly what their holdings are or aren't?
Well, that, you know, anytime you're dealing with money, that tends to bring out a lot of the emotional challenges with people because everybody has their opinion and perspective on what's the right thing to do. First and foremost, if it's at all possible to keep the senior involved in that decision-making process, you need to try to accomplish that. You know, you're not wanting to take over that parental role too early. You know, there's a lot of pride and independence that mature adults have, and you want to be respectful of that. The other element is, if it's at all possible, try to have the sit down face-to-face. One of the things that I talk about in the book is what I refer to as an acronym that's PET, PET. And that's looking at who are the decision makers, do they want to be involved, what do they bring to the table, and the PET stands for proximity, expertise, and then tangibles. And now proximity can be, you know, who is physically the closest, because a lot of times caregiving duties and decision making will fall to that person. But then you also want to think in terms of proximity to the heart. Inevitably, in a family, there are some relationships that are just a tad closer than others, especially if you're dealing with a blended family. And then expertise. You know, there might be somebody in the family who comes from strong financial background or just even, you know, day-to-day finances for themselves. And, you know, what people's backgrounds. And then the tangibles are time and money. So looking at all of those various elements might lead to a conversation about how each person can contribute. Sometimes conflict arises because people are feeling left out. They're not feeling like they're part of the process or that their opinions are valued. So you want to be cautious with that too. And then there are also people who have very strong credentials. You know, they're certified financial planners. There's public accountants. There's actually an organization that I've come across again in researching the book called Daily Money Managers. And that's a national organization of people who will take over, you know, a lot of the day-to-day financing activities for a fee, of course, but they can help to make sure that those bills are paid and that kind of stuff. One place to start, I think his name is Terry, is to look for a certified senior advisor, because that, again, is another cross-occupational designation of people who are working with the senior market. And you can find financial planners and accountants and things like that in there who are extremely knowledgeable about some of the ins and outs and dealing with seniors and their families. But sometimes the family dynamics are such that you just have to kind of work through things as best you can. And I'm sure, Becky, you've experienced that in your career, too, where there's sometimes some family conflict. You just kind of have to assume positive intent and do the best you can.
I'll tell you, but you have to really be just a little bit vigilant, I found, when working with some of the families, because often the most vocal person is a person kind of waiting in line for a financial windfall. and the caring person that doesn't really care much about anything financially except that the parent's taken care of or the aunt is taken care of. I will tell you that trust are a really good thing to set up. If you are a senior and you have some assets, name a trustee, yourself and one other person. That really is helpful. And Terry, hopefully we've helped a little bit with your situation.
Very much. Appreciate it. And it looks like I'm not going to be able to remember all the good advice I got. I'm going to have to get that book.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, we will revisit this in a couple months, and we'll have Ruth back on again, and we will give you website to go to actually get the book.
Great.
And I will get a paper and pencil, you guys, and I'm going to repeat a couple of those other websites for you so that you're able to start a little bit of research on your own anyway.
Well, and Becky, one of the things you mentioned too was a trust, which is actually a wonderful idea, especially with a blended family, because the way that estates pass through is whoever, you know, it goes to the descendants of a couple, whoever survives last. So if it's a husband and a wife, both that have their own children prior to the marriage, then the first spouse to pass away runs the risk of their heirs being left out as far as any proceeds to the estate, because the spouse's belongings go to the survivor, and then their belongings and estate go to their children. So there's a thing called an AB trust, which is almost two trusts that work in conjunction with each other that people can have set up through an elder law attorney. So again, there's a National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys.
Terry, thank you very much for your call. And Doug, we're going to get to your call right after the break. This is Becky Ivins, Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. And we are at our very last segment. The time goes by very quickly, doesn't it, Ruth?
It does. It's amazing.
We have on the line Ruth Fennell, who is a national expert on transitioning for seniors, transitioning from their standard family home into alternative arrangements for their, I guess, the last years.
Right.
Sometimes the last months of their life. We've got Doug on the line, and Doug, we're going to answer your question, and then I'm going to ask Ruth a few questions. How's that? Doug, you've got a question about a reverse mortgage.
Yes, Becky and Ruth, I've enjoyed your show. I have heard about reverse mortgages, and it seems to be desirable, but I just wanted to see your opinion or hear your opinion.
Well, I have a very strong opinion, Doug, on reverse mortgages. Reverse mortgages were put in place back in the 80s, the mid-80s, and it started out at FHA loan, and it was to help keep seniors in place, living in their home. If they just could not afford to stay in place, they could take a loan on their equity without making payments back on that loan. When it's time for the house to be sold, whether the homeowner had moved on to retirement or assisted living, or whether they're deceased, it's at some point it's time to sell the home. You can relinquish the home at that time to the mortgage holder, or hopefully there's going to be still equity in that home that has built up, and you're able, the heirs are able to sell the home and get the money out of it. What you don't want to do on a reverse mortgage, I had someone call me out recently, and they wanted to sell their house. It was paid for. It was worth about $100,000, and they wanted to move to a newer home that had less maintenance, and they wanted to take out a reverse mortgage to do that. And I just had to advise them that that's not the thing to do, because then what if they ran into trouble and wanted to stay in their home? Maybe their medications got to where they cost $400 a month and they didn't have that $400 a month. Where are they going to get it? Are they going to have to go to a nursing home and because they can't afford to stay in their own home? So reverse mortgage, I would say, is the last asset to be tapped in order to keep a senior in their own home. What do you think about that, Ruth?
I would agree, Becky. There's one of the key things with reverse mortgages. You know, when they first came out, as Becky mentioned, there was a lot of confusion and people weren't quite sure what was going on and that kind of thing. Right now, the programs are all government backed, so you do have that security of that. But there, you really only want to look at a reverse mortgage if you're going to be in the home or anticipate being in the home more than about 3 to 5 years. They are not a short term solution for people. You know, they are not a home equity line of credit, but they do have a lot of positives. You know, it frees up equity from the home while you're still allowed to live in the home. You do not have to make monthly payments. Any borrower does have to be at least 62 years old. And so you've got the ability to debate about time, you know, the age of the individual versus the value of the house. And So,
and you don't have to be employed to qualify for this either. The reverse mortgage is available to someone without a job and with bad credit. So the good part about that is that if a senior actually needs to tap into the equity on their home in order to have money to continue to live on, that is a good option for them.
Absolutely, Becky. One thing too is make sure you're working with a reliable lender. There's a couple that have been in the reverse mortgage program for many, many years. One is Financial Freedom. They were kind of the first group that came out, very reliable. And then Wells Fargo is another group that I work with a lot. So just make sure that you're working with people who haven't jumped on the bandwagon in the last few minutes. You know, reverse mortgages have value, and they can provide a lot of peace of mind to people, but they're not to be taken lightly.
And there are a lot of upfront charges, which you don't get out. I mean, you don't have to like shove out money for it, but it's added onto the mortgage so that there's less equity later on. So if somebody's wanting to stay in their home another 6 or 8 months, that's probably not your best option.
Right.
But if they're wanting to stay in there another 6 or 8 years, that might be a really good option. And Linda Starry is our local expert on that. So that's a great question, Doug. I promised I would give out a couple of websites. There are caremanager.com, caremanager.com. And Ruth, what is one of your favorite websites?
You know, for an overall expert, I really go to the CSA website, which is society-csa.com. And then obviously for real estate experts like yourself, Becky, the seniorsrealestate.com is where, you know, they can find information on that. But they've got a great resource in you, and you're, you know, 1 in 1,000 real estate agents have this designation and knowledge. So they definitely would want to take advantage of your expertise.
Well, I thank you for that. Ruth, name like 5 important questions to ask when thinking about seniors moving from their home.
Oh, well, you're leading directly into the book. The book is 5 questions that baby boomers need to know, and the first one is what's going on. So you need to make sure that it's a situation that is appropriate for making that kind of move. You need to look at who are the decision makers and do they want to be involved. You want to look at what local experts or what experts can you tap into and get guidance and support in the appropriate manners. You want to look at short-term, interim, or long-term. You know, is this a situation where you're needing to make a major move or just kind of do some stopgap types of things? And then ultimately, the last question is for people to just know that they're doing the best they can. You know, are you doing the best you can? And if you are, then, you know, you can't deal with a lot of guilt. So those are absolutely critical and five key questions.
And sometimes, is it difficult for the baby boomer generation? Is it difficult to please the senior?
I don't know that it's difficult. It can be a challenge. The baby boomer, as a stereotype, tends to be relatively self-focused, and their seniors tend to be, you know, very giving and understanding of their children, and definitely want their children to be happy. So, you know, many, many, many baby boomers want the best for their parents and their grandparents, and so that's important.
And the seniors don't want to be a burden on the young folk, as we hear around these parts. There is another resource that I thought I would mention that I did not know existed until we took this class, and that is the National Association of Senior Move Managers, people to help pack up, sort things. And I'll tell you, if Ruth, we've got to have you on again. Our time's up. We've been talking this hour to Ruth Fennell. Thank you, Ruth.
Oh, thank you. And let me just give my website for the book. It's www.lovingseniortransitions.com.
Lovingseniortransitions.com. Thank you for joining us today.